Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God is good. God is good. What you see here in front of you is Israel. This is in the Negev desert area. And you see the Dead Sea. And you see Mount Sodom or Sodom. And who do you see right there? Anyone see somebody standing right there? How do you know it's Lot's wife? Huh? Why, because it says it's Lot's wife? Okay. How about because it's a pillar of salt? That too. Okay. Praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Yeshua, I ask that you would bless and anoint this time. Fill me with your Ruach, O God. Transform me that I might truly be in the image of the living God, that it wouldn't be me, it would be you operating and living and moving through me. I ask, Lord, for your anointing, and I ask, Lord, in the name of Yeshua, that you would give all of us here understanding and discerning minds, and may your word be planted in our hearts, O God, in the name of Yeshua. Amen. I remember back in 1989, the first time that I went to Israel. So 1989, I think I was just like 7 years old. Yeah. Okay. That was a joke. Anyway. Yeah, 1989. I was visiting Israel, and I was going to the area and visiting the ancient fortress of Masada by the Dead Sea, known as the Yam HaMelach, the Dead Sea. And I came across a large pillar of salt, and there was a sign that said, Lot's wife. And it's in this area, exactly here, Mount Sodom, and this is what is claimed to be Lot's wife there. Now, I can't say for certain now. You can go back a second there. Let's go back the other way. The other back. There you go. Thank you. I can't say for absolutely certain if this is Lot's wife or not. You know, I don't really know if, I didn't try to dig through and try to see, but I have to believe that is either Lot's wife or something similar. Or maybe it was somebody else. I don't know. But this brought the image from Genesis 19 to life for me. And the Torah Parsha that we read today on this day, and you can find it on your bulletin, it's called Vayera. And Vayera is from, it means and he appeared, is from Genesis 18:1 all the way through chapter 22, verse 24. And there's a portion in there, in Genesis 19:23 through 26, that I want to read for you. So that's Genesis 19:23. You have your scriptures. Who brought the scriptures with them today? Who didn't?
Who didn't bring the scriptures?
Nobody will. You won't admit it, right? Okay. It says in Genesis 19:23, the moment that the sun rose upon the land, Lot entered Zoar, and Adonai rained sulfur and fire upon Sodom and Gomorrah from Adonai out of the sky. So he demolished these cities and the whole surrounding area, and all the inhabitants of the cities and the vegetation of the ground. But his wife looked behind him, and she turned into a pillar of salt. Now, does anybody know the name of Lot's wife? Nobody knows? It never mentions Lot's wife. But that name lives on through eternity because of what she did and what she didn't do. You know, when the Lord, when Adonai sets a path or sets our path in a certain way or a certain direction, it's so important that we continue to move forward and avoid looking back. Now, that's the easy thing to do, isn't it? To look back instead of moving forward. As we see here, as we saw with Lot's wife, there are consequences when we take our eyes off of the Lord. Now, has anyone here, have you ever taken your eyes off of the Lord and just started messing up? Have you ever done that before? Okay. I see several hands there. I also see several people that know that they should have their hands up, but they don't. Because I can tell. But there are consequences when we take our eyes off of God. And when we put them on circumstances and we put them on situations. Now, Yeshua said in Luke chapter 9, verse 62, "No one having put his hand to the plow and then looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." You're not fit for it. If God has put you on a path, and he has you to be moving in a certain way, in a certain direction, keep moving. Now, what happens? Now, I'm not a farmer, okay? My dad wasn't a farmer. My grandfather wasn't a farmer. I don't come from people who, sow and reap from the ground, okay? So I'm a city boy, born and raised in Chicago, Illinois. Only thing I ever knew was sidewalks and parking lots, okay? Every now and then there'd be some grass or some parks, but there wasn't farmland unless you went into the suburbs or you went down further, down Illinois, where there's lots and lots of corn and everything. But what happens if you're farming and you have your hands on the plow, say you got a, well, okay, or you're driving a tractor, an actual plow. Now, what happens if you turn around and start looking backwards? What happens? You're going to start going this way and then this way. You're going to be zigging, zagging, so that the path of that plow is going to look absolutely crazy, right? It's going to look like maybe a corn maze or something when you get done, because you have taken your eyes off of the path set for you and taken them off and looking back. So if the Lord has put our hand to the plow and we are to plow forward, we need to labor on, move forward, trust in him with all of our heart and not take our eyes off the Lord. Now, Yeshua is admonishing us that our utmost concerns needs to be the kingdom of God. And that's true. We can care about all sorts of things. I mean, I care about finances, and I care about my health, and I care about, you know, and I want different things and desire different things. But my most important thing needs to be my relationship with the Lord and the kingdom of God. Everything else needs to come secondary. And not the cares and not the desires of this world. The reality is that's not what takes place in a lot of our lives. You know, that's not to say that we can't have feelings. I mean, I have feelings. You may look at me and say, "Oh, that guy is hard as stone. I can tell. He doesn't have any feelings." But I do. I even can cry sometimes. Yeah. I'm actually a real person once you get to know me. I'm not, you know, I'm not like this pillar of salt right there. That's not me. I mean, and Bob too. Bob, sometimes you cry. I mean, you even said you become like a little baby sometimes, right? But, you know, I'm not saying that you can't have feelings and desires and hopes and dreams, but they all need to line up with kingdom principles. And then that's okay. If our emotions and drive conflict with what God has for our lives, then we need to reorient our path and follow in His direction, the direction that He has for us. You know, and it's not that song, I think it was Frank Sinatra that sang, "I Did It My Way." Is that Frank Sinatra? So what? Yeah. I did it my way. But you know what? It's not that. It needs to be, I'm doing it His way. Right? We all need to be doing it God's way, not our way. And Yeshua brings clarity to this thought in the book of Luke chapter 17. Chapter 17 of Luke, and starting in verse 28. Luke 17, 28, and this is what we read here. It says, it was just the same in the days of Lot. They were eating, and they were drinking, and they were buying and selling and planting and building. But on that day that Lot left Sodom, it rained fire and sulfur from heaven and destroyed them all. Things will be the same on the day when the Son of Man is made fully known. In that day, the one who is on the roof and his possessions in the house must not go down to take them away. In the same way, the one who is in the field must not turn back. And then he says something interesting here. He says these three words, remember Lot's wife. Remember, we just read this portion in Genesis. It mentions Lot's wife who turned back. It doesn't mention her name, but remember Lot's wife, Yeshua says. Now, this is somebody that we remember from thousands and thousands of years ago, but we don't even know her name, right? It's like saying, remember that lady. Remember that lady. Remember that person who did this. That's what Yeshua was saying. Remember Lot's wife. What was it that Lot's wife did? And he says, whoever tries to keep his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life will preserve it. So why does Yeshua say here, remember Lot's wife? It's because she failed to follow the express command of the Lord in Genesis 19:17. Do not look behind. Don't look behind. Whatever you do, you're leaving Sodom, fire, it's going to rain from heaven, sulfur, brimstone, it's going to rain from heaven. God is going to destroy this area, this land, the people, their possessions, their crops, their animals, everything is going to be destroyed because of the tremendous sin taking place in Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, sometimes I wonder if God didn't spare Sodom and Gomorrah, and the world that we live in today is, I think, is so much worse. What takes place in this country especially takes worse. It's so much worse here. The open homosexuality, the open lesbianism, the LGBT movement, it's so open, the abortion, the murder of the innocent children, all that take place in this country. Do we think as a nation that God is not going to judge America? But I'm telling you, God will judge America. And America, you know, sits very proud, very proud. The greatest nation in the world, the greatest nation that's ever existed, the greatest military, the greatest in finances and everything you can imagine, the greatest. Pride, the pride of this nation. And these people in this country, they revel over sin. They mock sin. Do we think that God will not see that and that God will not judge accordingly? Lot's wife here, she lingered behind her husband, and she looked back and was caught up in the rain of sulfur and fire and became this human pillar of salt. Again, I can't say, but that this is really Lot's wife. I mean, I don't know how she looked, you know, maybe. But it stands as a symbol. A symbol. When you go to Israel, you know, the Bible becomes alive. You know, it's you have no idea when you go to Israel, if you haven't been there before, because the Word of God comes alive. Everywhere you go is spoken about in the Bible. Everywhere. Every city, every mountain, every brook, every river, every waterfall, everything that we read about in the Scripture comes alive before you. It's exciting. And when you see this, this is an object lesson for us about God's judgment and having to do with disobedience, because she paid the ultimate price here for her sin and disobedience and lust of life. You know, salt is frequently used in the Scripture as an emblem of incorruption and durability. And being changed to a pillar of salt signifies an everlasting monument against unbelief and disobedience. It's forever, it's going to be there to see what it means. Now, the well-known, the very famous Jewish historian, Josephus, he says that this pillar was standing in his time, and that he had actually seen this pillar, and it's in his Book of Antiquities, and I have the reference here and all, but that he actually saw this. So, I don't know, maybe the original one was still existing. Is this the original one? Is it just a copy, or somebody decided to call this Lot's wife? I don't know. But regardless of it, it stands as an eternal monument to sin and disobedience to God. And also, according to the Targums of Jonathan and Jerusalem, Lot's wife, it says, was a native of Sodom. And because of this, she wanted to see what had happened to her family and to all of her friends, as well as all of her possessions and goods and substance that was left behind. She couldn't, you can imagine this. You know, she's moving forward. Don't look back. You know, told not to look back. Don't look back. And she hears all this stuff going on and screaming, people screaming and shrills and the heat from the flames and the fire and the sulfur coming down, and she's thinking about her beautiful house, and she's thinking about her neighbors, her friends, and her relatives that are there, and all of her possessions, all of it, and she's thinking about it, and it's just rushing through her mind, and it's just causing her to go crazy, and she's just got to look to see what's happening with all my stuff and my family and everyone, and maybe she just made a quick little peek. But that's all it took. That's all it took. Because she didn't trust. She didn't trust. And her life, she turned into this pillar that stands today for all of us to see as a monument against sin and disobedience. Her disobedience and unbelief, as well as longing for the past and relationships and possessions, it cost her everything. It cost life. As believers, we're required to renounce the world and the flesh and not look back. That's what God requires of us. Notice how Yeshua relates the story of Lot and Sodom to the day when the Son of Man is revealed. He's relating this story to the end times that are yet to come. And in this analogy, righteous Lot represents the future body of the believers, you and I here. the brides of Messiah who are to be saved from destruction, saved from the sulfur and the fire and the brimstone, saved from destruction in the end of days because of our faith and our trust in Yeshua. We don't have to go through that fire and that sulfur and that brimstone. We will be saved from destruction because of our faith and our trust in Yeshua, the Messiah. And when those days are upon us, we're not to be concerned about our possessions. When these days come in the future, and I'm telling you, I don't know how close we are to the end of days and the things that are going to come upon this world. And it's not going to be pretty. It's going to be terrible. It's going to be ugly. And Yeshua warns us, don't go back after your things. Don't be looking behind after those things. Don't be concerned about your possessions or the life that you're going to leave behind. Instead, it's time to go forward and not look back. Otherwise, we'll fall into the same disobedience and unbelief as Lot's wife did, and then not be worthy to enter into the kingdom of God. And as quickly as destruction came upon Sodom and Gomorrah, the Son of Man, it says, is going to come like a flash of lightning, like in the twinkling of an eye. Remember, I gave a message on that, I don't know if it was earlier this year or later last year, I don't remember, but in the twinkling of an eye. He's going to come just like that, the Son of Man. So fast. Faster than you can even, your little eyelash, you know, go up and down. That, in the twinkling of an eye, he'll come like a flash of lightning. Matthew 24, verse 27, or Matthew 24, the whole chapter describes end times events. And this is an important chapter. I know some people don't like to read it because it seems maybe like doom and gloom and all the terrible things that are going to happen. But let me tell you, you need to be ready and you need to be prepared for those times. You know, just trying to be ignorant about those things and putting your head in the sand like an ostrich is not going to help you. You need to be wise and understand the things that are coming upon us. Matthew 24:27 says, "For as lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man." And in verse 30, "Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." And maybe they'll be singing the song, Bob, that we just sang, "Worthy, power, awesome." I think all of us, when we stand in the presence of the Lord God, we're not going to be worrying about our possessions. We're not going to be worrying about the things left behind. We're going to be saying, "Kavod, kavod, kavod, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. And let all the heavens rejoice. Let all the earth be glad. Let all the trees in the forest shout for joy. For the Lord is coming. Yeshua is coming. The Holy One of Israel is coming to save those who are called by His name, His bride." When these things occur, and again, I don't know when these things are going to occur, but when they do occur, what is our response going to be? What is our response? Will we be so concerned about other things that we miss our appointed time? Will we be so focused on the things of the world that we'll miss? And what about now? How are we living our life today? How are you living your life today? Are we caught up in the cares and desires for this world so much that we'll miss the opportunities that are set before us to reach out and touch a dying world? How many of us here reach out and touch a dying world? Bob, I know you're doing the way of the Master, and the process is that people will go out and share the good news. There's a world out there that's just dying. It's perishing. Lot's wife is everywhere around us. Unbelief everywhere. Worldliness everywhere. Sin everywhere around us. And we need to reach out to that world. Now, Lot's wife here miserably failed that test of faith. But I believe that we're in the same boat. We really are. How often do we waste precious time meditating on the things of the past, stuck forever in the present circumstances and situations, without any hope for the future? This was the case for the children of Israel who were taken in captive into Babylon. They forever thought about the past, forever. Dying and decaying in their present situation without any hope. Even one of the Psalms says, by the rivers of Babylon there, I sat and wept as I remembered Zion. Now it's good. In this case, remembering Zion, but they ended up there because of their sin and their unbelief. And now, feeling sorry for themselves because of what could have been. Oh, we remembered all the good food and the good times we had over there, and now we're here captives in Babylon. But you know, you and I, we're all captives. We're all prisoners in this world when we refuse to put God first and make Him the priority in our life. And in the midst of this dilemma while they're in Babylon, the Lord spoke them these words from the prophet. Okay, now where is that coming from? I don't know. All right. The Lord spoke these words to the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah 21:11 says, "For I know the plans I have in mind for you, says Adonai, plans for well-being and not for bad things, so that you can have a hope in the future." However, there was something the children of Israel needed to do first before God would act. And in Jeremiah 29, verses 12 through 14, following that, that needed to take place. Because it says, "When you call to me and pray to me, I will listen to you. When you seek me, you will find me, provided you seek for me wholeheartedly, with all of your being, with all of your heart, and I will let you find me, says Adonai. Then I will reverse your exile." In other words, deliver you from your bondage. If we look to the Lord. If we look to the Lord. And the children of Israel needed to stop, or step forward, that is, in faith. Forgetting what was behind them and looking forward to a future hope. This was a message to Lot's wife. And this is a message as well to us. No one ever said it would be easy. But on the contrary, it's very hard. But it's a path that all of us need to make here. Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, expressed this so well in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 8. And he said, Paul said in Philippians 3, 7 through 8, "But the things that used to be advantages for me, I have because of the Messiah, because of our Messiah, I have come to consider them a disadvantage. Not only that, but I consider everything a disadvantage in comparison with the supreme value of knowing the Messiah Yeshua as my Lord. It was because of him that I gave up everything and regard it all as garbage in order to gain the Messiah." Boy, I tell you, I love that scripture. I relate to that scripture because I know for myself I had to give up everything of the world, every thought, every desire, anything that was worldly. Any, I had to just lay it aside, put it aside, get rid of it at all cost. Didn't matter what it was, get rid of it, get it out of my life, because this is not who I am and this is not what I want to be. I have to move forward to a new place with the Lord. Lot's wife was not willing to give up everything. And I think we all struggle in that same area. But Rav Shaul here states in verse 10, "Yes, I gave it up, all up in order to know him." Gave it all up in order to know him. That is to know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. As I am being conformed to his death, and so somehow I might arrive at being resurrected from the dead. Give it all up. And he continues, you know, he was not yet there. And I don't think any of us in this room are there yet. But he continues in verse 12 and says, "It's not that I've already obtained it." He's saying, "And I'm not there, or I've already reached that goal." No, I haven't reached that goal. You haven't reached that goal. But we keep pursuing it in the hope of taking hold of that for which the Messiah Yeshua took hold of me. Brothers, I for my part do not think of myself as having yet gotten hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward toward what lies ahead, I keep pursuing the goal in order to win the prize offered by God's upward calling in the Messiah Yeshua. And I'm telling you something, I'm going to keep doing that. At whatever cost, you know, this life in Messiah has cost me a lot. But it's been worth it all. Just like that song, "Be worth it all when I see his face." It's going to be worth it all when I see his face. And I'm looking forward to that. All the things that I gave up in this world, maybe all the things of this world I could have had, they don't mean anything in comparison to being one day in his glory and seeing him face to face. And Lot's wife, she was not willing, and it cost her life. That's why Yeshua said, "Remember Lot's wife." The unnamed person, we don't know her name. But her name goes down in history as Lot's wife. And he says, remember it. Yeshua's teaching us an object lesson here. Are we going to learn the lesson our master's teaching us? We being his Talmudim, his students, are we going to learn that lesson, or are we going to fail the test? You want to pass the test? You have to know the answers to pass the test. Isn't that true? Has anyone ever passed the test and not knowing what the answers are? But I'll tell you where you can study and find the answers. It's right here. Here's the answer book. This is the code, the answer book. You can find all the answers right here so that you're able to pass the test. Are we willing to forget what is behind us and strain forward toward the kingdom of God? And then listen, in Yeshua there is no turning back. Put your hands to the plow. Put your hands to the steering wheel on the tractor, whatever it is. It's time to move forward. There's no turning back. Only marching faithfully forward to reach the goal of our faith, the salvation of our souls. We need to be willing to give everything to the Lord. No holding back and no turning back. So remember Lot's wife. If you ever get to Israel, make sure that you go to Mount Sodom there and go up there and see that pillar. Go to Masada. Go into the Dead Sea. Okay, ladies over there. Anyway, praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Yeshua, I want to thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Lord, that there's so many lessons to learn and so much we don't know. And so much we need to change in our lives. May we be conformed, transformed, renewed, washed by the blood, and full of the power of Messiah.